I was standing in a pulpit doing this sermon on Good Friday, I was contemplating and planning my own death.
Pastor Todd Peppercorn speaking at this year's Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
Today what I'm going to talk to you about is the story of depression and mental illness, and especially the story of how this fits with the gospel and what incredible treasures we have as Lutherans who kind of get two kingdoms, body, soul, and spirit, who understand what it means to suffer.
You can listen to Pastor Peppercorn's presentation, Making the Case for a Lutheran View of Depression, on an audio DVD from both of our 2017 Making the Case conferences. We'll send it to you for a donation of $300. Look for the DVD logo at issuesetc.org.
Where are we?
You have no idea.
Hello, the goddess of death has invaded Asgard.
Oh, I've missed this.
And you and I had a fight recently.
Did I win?
No, I won easily.
Doesn't sound right.
Well, it's true.
Asgard is dead. And it'll be reborn in my image. I thought you'd be glad to see me.
We need to stop her here and now.
To prevent Ragnarok, the end of everything.
So I'm putting together a team.
Like the old days.
Well, I imagine that the pagans who first dreamt up these gods, Thor and the others, could never have imagined that they would be featured on the silver screen in all of their CGI and digital glory, far beyond, I imagine, their imaginations, but they are. It seems as though what once was religion for the pagans is now entertainment for 21st century Americans. Well, they're also pagans as well, most of them. So maybe that's fitting entertainment today, that we watch the gods of old dance around in their, well, not their tights, but their fancy armor, fight one another along with all the other gods of our pantheon, the superheroes that we have made up to substitute for the genuine deity. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. We're coming to you live from the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference at Memorial Lutheran Church in Houston, Texas. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We're going to be reviewing the movie Thor Ragnarok. We're going to find out what a Ragnarok is, or who a Ragnarok is. And we're going to be talking about taking your confession of faith to the movies. Pastor Ted Giese will be with us for the first hour of the program. Then in the second hour of the program, we're going to talk about the sin of silence, something that our guest for that hour has been talking about, well, for probably 3 decades. And finally, I think the rest of Christianity is starting to catch on. Dr. Lawrence White, a speaker for the pro-life cause and pro-family organizations and senior pastor at Our Savior Lutheran Church in Houston, Texas, will join us to talk about the sin of silence. You can join us, even though we're in Houston and you are wherever you are, you can join us with your questions or your comments. Our in-studio email address, talkback@issuesetc.org. Our Twitter address, @issuesetc. For our audience here in Houston, we've got this audience microphone there. If you approach it, don't just approach it and start talking. If you approach it, Jeff here will accommodate you. If you've got a question or a comment during the 2 hours of the broadcast, feel free to line up at the audience mic. Be happy to take your questions as well. Joining us to talk about the movie Thor Ragnarok and taking your confession of faith to the movies, Pastor Ted Giese. He is pastor of Mount Olive Lutheran Church in Regina, Saskatchewan, Canada. He has a bachelor's degree in fine arts, and he taught a course for Concordia Lutheran Seminary titled Christianity in the Movies, A Lutheran Approach to Media Consumption. Ted, welcome back.
Thanks, Todd.
I'm christening you anew with your real name because for, I don't know, how many years have we been doing this?
Oh, I think since 2013 or something.
Yeah, 2013. I've been referring to you as Pastor Giese, which is how it's spelled, by the way. It's spelled Giese, but it's pronounced like the plural of that waterfowl, geese. So I'm going to christen you with your real name, Pastor Geese,
yes.
since I've been mispronouncing it. I hope you will forgive me for
you are forgiven.
What's now 4 years of mispronouncing your name. Is anybody going to learn anything of substance about Norse mythology or the gods of the ancient pagans by going to this, now what is it, the third of the Thor movies or the third of the movies that involve this Norse god, Thor?
Third of the Thor movies, and of course the character of Thor has shown up and Loki, his adopted brother, has shown up into a number of other films too. But they are, if they just stop with what they're looking at on the screen, they are not going to really learn too much. Maybe some names, maybe some general ideas. If they are extra curious and they toddle over to Wikipedia, they might learn a couple extra things, or they might be interested in going to pick up a book and looking at some of that as well. But they aren't going to learn too much. And actually, a funny thing happens when you look at this movie. You get all of these Norse god characters in the movie. So there's Thor, the god of thunder, and Loki, his half-brother or adopted brother, the god of mischief. And there's Odin, the All-Father, all of these characters. And they're introduced to a new one, Hela, their older sister that they didn't know about in this film. But they actually don't actually match up with, if you go and look at the Norse mythology, they don't fit exactly right. Like, Hela is not an older sister, she's a child of Loki's. So they're kind of mixing, matching, it's very malleable, they're doing whatever they want with it to tell the story. So they're not really, there's no fidelity to Norse mythology, and in that way, it's not really an apologetic to Norse mythology. Like, people won't really learn much. It may whet their appetite, but that's about it.
So, is it more interesting, this movie, Thor Ragnarok, than the real stories that were told, the real mythologies that were told about these pagan gods that people actually worshipped and feared
right.
in the ancient world?
So the confession is that I have not read, like, in detail all of Norse mythology, so I can't really tell you if it's more interesting. Mm-hmm. If somebody has really delved into Norse mythology, they might be able to put up their hand and say, no, it's not as good as the real stuff, et cetera, et cetera. I don't know. I think they're trying to tell a compelling story. They're trying to tell a family story. So it's really about a father and his two sons. And that's where this film kind of starts to derail things, because they bring in this character that none of us had known about up until this point. And it really turned the character of Odin, played by Sir Anthony Hopkins, into an unreliable narrator. Because he's been lying to them the whole time. They don't know that they have a sister. They literally don't know. He's painted over the history of the Norse gods with his own rosy-colored history. So they haven't really just wrecked the movie they're making. They've wrecked movies they've already made by throwing it off kilter. Where if they had kept with the Norse mythology, then Hela, played by Cate Blanchett, could have just been Loki's daughter. And it wouldn't have wrecked the character of Odin and the whole family dynamic and the whole story of a father with his two sons and all of that.
This is a tendency, and I think we may have touched upon it before in our many conversations doing movie reviews, of it usually comes in the form of the reboot, where we get a perfectly good movie that was made years ago and someone decides to make it again and kind of rewrite the story. It's an origin story of a superhero or something
sure.
like that.
Mm-hmm.
The liberties that are taken with these stories, you kind of get the impression that once they own the rights to them, they feel like they can do anything they want with them. Is that the kind of thing that's going on here?
They're trying to tell this bigger story. This is a piece of the puzzle in this giant meta-narrative that they're telling. So I guess maybe they've painted themselves into a corner and they need to do this. I don't know. I'm putting the best construction on it. But it certainly does throw it off if you know anything about it. And again, the title of the film is Thor Ragnarok, and Ragnarok is their kind of apocalypse. So now the film is about, like, the apocalypse of Asgard and all of creation and the Norse gods and all of it. Guys like Stan Lee, they grabbed hold of all this stuff out of Norse mythology and brought it into their comic books, and now, all these years later, they're making these movies, and he has cameos, and it's just the way they're doing it, and I don't think that they have nearly as much fidelity to text in their mind as they're just excuses to tell a story, and this is the story they're choosing to tell. But yes, it is. They're kind of poking around and changing things as they like.
You say that they have. What did you say? They've done kind of the Guardians of the Galaxy version of the Thor story. If anyone's familiar with that series of movies, it draws heavily upon the comedic talents of Chris Pratt and wisecracking trees and raccoons and things like that to tell a story about fighting evil in the galaxy. What do you mean? Have they tried to make it funny?
Yeah, this is exactly the case. So a movie like Guardians of the Galaxy is based on a comic book that's a quirky, weird comic book that hardly anybody probably ever read. But they knocked it out of the park. Like, they were swinging for the fences. They knocked it out of the park, and essentially they just, you know, they had a huge, gigantic box office. So and it was a comedic thing. So it kind of took some of the dourness away. And Marvel movies tend to be less dour than DC comic book movies right now. So they want to repeat that. Of course they want to have a giant box office every time. So maybe this one they have to have more humor. And there's always humor in the Thor movies. But this one, it's like Thor, like the humor is driving the vehicle. It's not in the shotgun position in the car. See, this is what's happening. So instead of it being an epic with comedic elements, it's a comedy with epic elements. And of course that's very strange if you're making something about an apocalypse, like the end of everything, and it being a comedy.
Should Christians, although it's the pagan version and the Hollywood version of the pagan version of the apocalypse, should Christians have any concerns about making light or kind of laughing your way into the end of the world?
It is kind of strange. Like, for Christians, of course, like when we think of the end of time, we have all sorts of promises from Christ. We have, we don't need to fear it as God's children. Yet at the same time, I think out of respectfulness, we don't laugh at it. So like that's something that we need to keep in mind. So when you get to something like this, it isn't a one-to-one analogy, but perhaps it would call to mind thoughts in the minds of people watching the film. Strangely enough, it happened to come out on the weekend of All Saints Day Observed, where we think about the blessed dead who are with Christ, who are alive in him, hidden away for being revealed at the end of time, on the last day. So, and we're marching, of course, in the church year towards the last Sunday of the church year, and it came out at a time where, if you're living in the liturgical calendar of the church as a Lutheran, let's say, this stuff is on your mind, and now you're seeing kind of a whole weird kind of comic book, you know, Guardians of the Galaxy style version of this for this Thor story. And of course, you've gotten to know these characters in the last two movies, and that this huge, giant, dramatic story that they're trying to tell has now become a comedy. So is that, it just doesn't feel like that's what those characters deserve as characters within the story itself.
There's also a tendency to kind of pack in the across promotions in movies like this, where, you know, just because maybe next year they're going to come out with another Hulk movie or another Iron Man movie, they throw him in at the beginning or the end or stick him somewhere in the middle so that they can promote it. We were talking with one of the listeners here earlier today, and he said that Doctor Strange appears in this movie, and yes. I think he said it was just a commercial for the next Doctor Strange movie.
Yeah, they're setting everything up for a movie called the Infinity War. So this is Avengers Infinity War, and they've been putting little Easter eggs and stuff along the way, all the way through, and they're coming up with this movie. It's actually been broken into two films, so it'll be in 2018 and 2019, and in that they're going to have all of the Marvel characters, all of them. So the tragic ones, the epic ones, the comedic ones. So in a way, what's going on with this Thor Ragnarok is that it is a bridging film to bridge together things like Guardians of the Galaxy with, you know, more serious ones like, I don't know, Captain America Civil War or, you know, the Winter Soldier, so that when you have all of these guys on the screen together, like Ant-Man and Doctor Strange and Captain America, that they're all together, and they're kind of telling this meta-narrative. So if you're sitting at Disney and Marvel and you're trying to put it together, this is serving a purpose, but it just might not be serving the purpose of the story that they're trying to tell in the particular film.
So does the comedy of this film rob the story Because they can tell compelling stories with these characters. Does it rob the story of its force in the end?
It did for me. Like when I saw it, I enjoyed it while I watched it. But then when I left and I thought about it, I started to enjoy it less. Now, the great thing is that maybe I'll just remember it the way I want to. And that might actually turn out to be better. But for myself personally, I felt like the comedy was funny in the moment, but I don't think it's going to last. And I think that if you did sit down and you watched Thor, Thor the Dark World, and then this one, all three of them together, if you wanted to spend your time like that, you would probably find that it was not in keeping with the other films and it would be out of place. I don't think it would just nicely all dovetail together.
Is there something of the resurrection in this film?
There is. The character of Hela goes to Asgard, and she takes all of these, quote-unquote, the blessed dead of the Asgardians, these warriors that had died and were like buried very nicely, and she raises them from the dead, and they become an army for her purposes. Of course, she's an evil character, and when they're raised from the dead, they're not glorious and shining. They are like skeletal and ugly and
bad zombies.
Bad zombies with swords and armor.
So this kind of opens up a subject that perhaps we can use to conclude this movie review, and that is this notion of this counterfeit resurrection, or this as the best that this world can do in the resurrection, that people die, and when they come back, they are shadows of their former selves. They are decidedly corrupted in their flesh, maybe even mindless, those mm-hmm. kinds of things, a common theme in all kinds of fantasy. How would you contrast this with the Christian teaching of the resurrection, which doesn't include zombies or armies of the undead?
No, but every time you talk about the dead rising from their graves, one of the first things people think of is like The Walking Dead or something they've seen in a movie like this. And it's just over and over and over again, like you're saying, where it's a counterfeit thing. It's not the good thing. I guess I was thinking about this, and I posted something about it on Facebook, and somebody said, "Oh, well, there's movies where it's good," and I said, "Name some." it's not really coming to the forefront. Although somebody did point something out, and I remember it too now, and it's great. A good example of it is from the first of the Narnia ones, Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, and of course C.S. Lewis, Christian writer. But when Aslan comes back from the dead, then all of the ones that have been turned to stone all come back to life. And that's a positive view of it. And then, of course, there's a cataclysmic battle at the end, et cetera, et cetera. But then they're in this positive sense. So there's one example of a positive one taken from literature, from a Christian writer, where it showed up on the silver screen. But more often, it is the reverse of that. And it is not what you hear preached in your pulpit. It's not what you hear... It's not what you read in Scripture itself when you look at the book of Revelation. And it's not even like what you get when Christ is risen from the dead and the Gospel of Matthew talks about the dead coming out of their graves then too. Like there's a mini resurrection that happens there. It's not even like that. So what you do get is more things like the Tom Cruise movie that we recently had called The Mummy, where you have like the Knights Templar being risen out of the graves as zombie evil fighters to like fight for an Egyptian goddess. It's bonkers. Like how often it's just completely bonkers is amazing to me.
But it is a recurring theme. And the other recurring theme, perhaps finally on the subject, Pastor Geese, is that we seem to be fascinated with deities. But we'd like our deities like Thor and the others to be flawed, as flawed as we are. We're not that different in a lot of ways, at least in the way we entertain ourselves, from the ancient Greeks or the ancient Norse or what other pagan culture there have been. What are your thoughts there?
Well, this particular movie is one of the really good things in this Thor Ragnarok is you see the fruits of the character development of the character of Thor. In the first film, he is arrogant, a jerk, basically, and by the time you get to this movie, he's more self-effacing, he's kinder, he's more introspective, he cares more. So that's good. But again, we want to see character arcs and character development. We love that. That's what we love to see in stories. But yes, when it comes to God, who is unchangeable in that sense, you know, Christ, you know, doesn't go through a giant character arc where he starts out as a jerk and turns out to be awesome. He's it's a whole different kind of thing from the Christian perspective when you're looking at what God really is, who God really is, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Pastor Ted Geese is our guest. We're going to turn the subject from a particular movie, Thor Ragnarok, to taking your confession of faith to the movies, broadcasting live on this Friday, November the 10th, from the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference at Memorial Lutheran Church in Houston, Texas. Feel free to join us. Talk back at issuesetc.org, our Twitter address at issuesetc, and for our conference attendees, there is the audience mic. We'll be right back.
The church's music from the 20th century. The 17th century. The 11th century. The 8th century. The 4th century. The best of the church's music from the past 2,000 years. LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Daily exercise for the Christian mind. You're listening to Issues Etc.
When a Christian woman is critical of her own flesh, she holds her Creator in contempt.
Rose Adel from her new book, Ladylike, Living Biblically.
Our Heavenly Father knit us together in the womb. He did not do a bad job. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. Psalm 139:14. That goes for everyone, including the one who thinks she's the ugliest of them all.
You can purchase and download Concordia Publishing House's new audiobook, Ladylike, Living Biblically, at Amazon, Audible, and iTunes.
LCMS Disaster Response provides guidance and assistance to congregations who seek to proclaim the gospel and show mercy in the wake of disasters. We can bring capacity to your congregation through on-site assessment, volunteer training and congregation preparedness, and through grants direct to your congregation. For more information, follow us on Facebook, keyword LCMS Disaster Response, or visit our website at lcms.org/disaster. That's lcms.org/disaster.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We are broadcasting live from the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference at Memorial Lutheran Church in Houston, Texas on this Friday afternoon, November the 10th, talking with Pastor Ted Geese, turning to the subject of taking your confession of faith to the movies. We're going to spend some time talking about the worldviews that Hollywood fosters and nurtures and in a lot of ways cherishes as an industry. But the conversation comes in the wake of some pretty serious and frankly horrific scandals in Hollywood. Harvey Weinstein comes to mind, and Kevin Spacey. You'll forgive me if I think sometimes you look a little like Kevin Spacey, but the Kevin Spacey of Canada, maybe. But these terrible stories that we're hearing, and they're just multiplying. What does this tell you as a Christian consumer of Hollywood's product about some of the worldviews that may be at work there Christians ought to be concerned about?
Yeah, we're getting a real avalanche of all of that stuff right now. I think people are feeling, you know, better about coming out and talking about some of those things, which is a good thing. But I think that, like, all the way along, it's always been important to be very careful about what you're looking at and to actually think about what you're looking at. So I think that you know, this should be just one more and a very big reminder that it is important to think about it. Filmmaking is a vocation like other vocations. It's also, you know, it's a big business. Like, if you ever stay to the end of a film, like especially one like this one we were talking about, Thor Ragnarok, and you look at all of the people involved in making a film, you get to like the computer graphic stuff, and there's like 1,000 names, right? It's huge, the number of people. So you have to have all these people kind of organizing that and all of these people working in it. And of course, like any vocation, you want to do it, if you're a Christian, you want to do it to the glory of God for the benefit of others, and you want to produce something that's going to be good, right? So if you're in Hollywood, it's going to be very challenging sometimes as a Christian in that environment. There are Christians there, but you do get people who are in a vocation, but they are not maybe doing it to the glory of God. So as we've discovered with Harvey Weinstein and guys like Kevin Spacey, they were in those vocations, actor, producer, movie mogul, but they were not doing it in a God-pleasing way, you know, with their, particularly in these cases, sexual assault that they're involved in, and rape is coming out now too. And even like an actor from the 80s, Corey Feldman, has been talking more and more lately. And when he originally came out and talked about pedophilia as a problem within Hollywood, that was not something that people wanted to hear. And in fact, he was on a TV program with Barbara Walters and brought it up, and she chastised him because he was besmirching an entire industry. And while not everybody in the industry is involved in that, but there are people who are. Roman Polanski is somebody who has been accused of that, and then he fled the United States. So it's very interesting because you have, like, he won an Oscar, and Meryl Streep got up and started the standing ovation for him. So out of one corner of her mouth, she'll, you know, say one thing about a guy like Roman Polanski, and then out of the other corner of her mouth, she'll, like, say things about President Trump or... You know, so it's Hollywood cherishes its soapbox that it stands on, but it's full of sinners like everyone else, everywhere else, and they've kind of presented themselves as being virtuous, when perhaps they were not actually living up to the vocation.
Has Hollywood lost a considerable amount of its, at least what it thought it was, its own moral authority through some of this?
This year, like, has been the worst year at the box office in like 25 years. So there's a bunch of things going on. People are watching things on Netflix, or they're watching things on YouTube, cats playing with yarn or whatever, you know, and being very entertained. So they don't have the place that they used to have in culture. And there's a couple different ways that they can kind of go about that. They could either be provocateurs, or try to go along with what is considered popular, like the, you know, particular agendas that are being pressed right now in society. Or they could focus on the craft itself and make quality things that people could enjoy. And they're kind of scrambling at this time. So they have lost what they used to have. Like, there used to just be three TV channels, right? There, but even in their own history in the past, there was a time when they had to clamp down. Like, they couldn't have, like, in the 30s was kind of like the Wild West. They could do pretty much whatever they wanted almost in films. And then they had, like, the code that came in. And that's where, you know, you didn't see as much blood or whatever. Like, you can think of all the black and white gangster films where somebody would get shot and it would be like, they just, like, hold their body, and you didn't see any blood. You didn't see a wound, and they would fall over. That was to meet certain codes that they had. And then, of course, the studio system, like, kept a lid on the infidelity and the dalliances of different actors like Errol Flynn and people like that. So they were always kind of keeping a lid on it. And then when the sexual revolution happened, the lid kind of started peeling back, and more things started going off the rails, and they've kind of become a little more brazen. And right now, like, some of the quote-unquote open secrets that they've had, that they've been dealing with, are now becoming public. Like, their laundry is being publicly aired, And that does erode whatever position they had within culture even further.
I guess one more question on that facet of it is, can we expect any humility? We're going to be going into the award season where Hollywood congratulates itself and then they take everyone else's congratulations and all those kinds of things. I'm sure that they will be a more sober attitude going into it, but what about kind of some humility from our celebrity class?
I would say you should expect it from them.
But
I don't know if you will get it. It may be that they'll climb off of one high horse and onto another one. But I would hope that there would be some. I expect it of them. Like, you know, this is something you should expect from them. Don't just like brush it off and say, well, it's Hollywood. Expect more from them. I guess that's a place to start.
They should get Tom Hanks, who probably has the most unassailable reputation as an honest dude.
So far.
Yeah, so far, yeah. Yes. Do a background check first, and then get Tom Hanks. And have him stand up and say, we're sorry, America. You trusted us with all your money and all your adulation, and we let you down.
That would go a long way. And then after that, they would have to, like, you know, do some things.
Yeah. Change some things.
Change some things, you know. And some things, I guess, are changing. Or they're talking about things changing. So we'll see where that goes.
You talk about how when Christians go and consume the product of Hollywood, when we go to the movies, we're never going to find a movie that fits with our worldview. We just simply shouldn't expect that. And maybe that's part of the reason why we like to be entertained. It's a worldview that is contrary or different than our own. But there is an example. You have an example of one that's, you say it's a serviceable example of like a near match. What would it be?
Well, a really good match would be like the Lord of the Rings trilogy, that original Lord of the Rings trilogy written by J.R.R. Tolkien. And Tolkien was a devout Roman Catholic. And his Christianity, he didn't sit down to write a Christian series of books, but because he was a Christian, it came out in what he wrote. He wasn't as interested in, you know, straightforward allegory like his friend C.S. Lewis was, but it came out in those Lord of the Rings books. And Peter Jackson, because he had this interest in having fidelity to the text itself, he stuck quite close to what you find in the books. So there are things that you find in the film that resonate with what you believe as a Christian. So there was a Pastor Caseman who had written something, I think, for Higher Things years ago, and about the threefold office of Christ that shows up in the Lord of the Rings films. So you have prophet, priest, and king. So the prophet character would be like Gandalf. The priest character is Frodo, who carries the ring to Mount Doom, where it's destroyed. And then the king character, and you have a whole film, The Return of the King, is Aragorn. So you have you know, a different way of kind of producing some Christian narrative stuff or Christian teaching within a Hollywood film. And it's there because Peter Jackson was faithful to the text and didn't screw around too much with it. Like there were certain things that he did, but the underpinning stuff is there. So there's lots of great stuff in that trilogy itself. And of course, like I had mentioned earlier, that Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe one was good. And I would just say that if you, or if there's somebody you know, a family member, whatever, who's interested in filmmaking, do it. Like, just do it. If you're listening to this now, somewhere, wherever you're listening to it, be encouraged. The world would be a better place if there were more Lutherans in it. And if you could get the Lutheran worldview out there to people, and Lutherans and other people could sit down and just see it up there on the screen, it would be a positive thing. So just go and do it.
Pastor Ted Geese is our guest. We are taking our world view and our confession of faith to the movies with him on this Friday afternoon, November the 10th, broadcasting live from the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference at Memorial Lutheran Church in Houston, Texas. Our audience mic is right here for any questions or comments our live audience may have. Feel free to approach it, and Jeff will speak with you. Or you can send us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org, talkback@issuesetc.org, or our Twitter address, @issuesetc. When we come back, we're going to talk about what we can learn when our worldview is most definitely not reflected in the movies.
Do you have a hard time finding Christian greeting cards and gifts that aren't either sappy or theologically suspect? Ad Crucem offers the perfect combination of art and the truth of the scriptures with beautiful and reverent greeting cards and gifts. Deliver the true comfort of the gospel, Christ crucified for sinners, to family and friends with Ad Crucem. ADCRUCEM.com. Confessing the faith through art and word. AdCrucem.com.
At Hope Lutheran Church in Sunbury, Ohio, you will find rest for your soul, strength for the day, forgiveness of sins, and hope for the future through Jesus Christ. Because at Hope, you'll hear the Word of God faithfully taught and receive the sacraments faithfully delivered. This is Pastor Ben Meyer inviting you to join us at Hope for Bible class and Sunday school at 9 a.m. and the Divine Service at 10:30 a.m. Find us on the web at hopelutheransunbury.org.
40 Years Greatly Blessed is this year's theme at Metro East Lutheran High School in Edwardsville, Illinois. We engage young adults in a Christ-centered environment and provide an alternative to secular public high schools. Please help us provide tuition assistance to more students by making a special 40th anniversary tax-deductible gift at melhs.org and click on the giving page. Or call me, Dr. Jay Krause, principal, at 618-656-656. 0043.
Memoria Presno offers 6 levels of the Simply Classical curriculum for students with special needs. These full-year curriculum packages for children with learning challenges enable you to teach reading, writing, arithmetic, art, poetry, science, history, Latin, literature, and Christian studies with incremental classical methods. Visit classicalspecialneeds.com and enter promo code LPR17 to save on resources for your home or school.
Your lifeline to the Lutheran worldview. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Do you dread going to work out? Performance Fitness in Edwardsville offers a fun, supportive, tight-knit community and environment. Visit them on the web at performancefitness618.com or call 618-692-5063. Performance Fitness is the facility in the St. Louis Metro East where the focus is on member results, not membership numbers. 618-692-5063 or performancefitness618.com. Performance Fitness of Edwardsville.
The Law Assumed Sermon, the Gospel Afterthought Sermon, the God Loves You Anyway Sermon. I've written an article in the latest Issues Etc. journal titled An Updated Listener's Guide to the Pulpit. We'll send it to you for free. Just click the red journal subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. In the Wittenberg Trail feature, Dr. Matt Richard details his journey from folk Lutheranism to confessional Lutheranism. The free online Issues Etc. journal.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin here in the first hour broadcasting live from the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference at Memorial Lutheran Church in Houston, Texas. We're talking with Pastor Ted Geese about movies and about taking our confession of faith to the movies. Feel free to join us with questions or comments. Our in-studio email address, talkback@issuesetc.org, and our Twitter address, @issuesetc. And who are you and what's your question?
Hi, I'm Chris from Spring, Texas. And my question has to do with money, because, you know, Hollywood's all about box office. And it seems like when they get a Christian-y film, something family-friendly that does really, really well, you'd think they would do more of it, But it seems like they find every opportunity to go off the tracks again. Could you talk about that?
Yeah. The thing is that there's lots of things that make money. So there's a couple different things that make money. Sometimes those Christian movies do make money, and that's why some film companies have a whole division that just deals with those kind of films. The question is, do they have good quality? So you have one that knocks it out of the park, then maybe the next ones, are they going to be of the same caliber? And then the money kind of dries up, and then they move on to other things. One of the most profitable things they can do is make horror films. Because if you spend $19 million on it and it makes like $120 or $140 million, that's a gigantic return on investment. So that's why you see like sometimes these small market horror films suddenly just balloon and become the big thing at the moment. And that's why sometimes we actually, not just that Todd enjoys them, but like horror films, but that's why we talk about them, because it's making the money at the time. So I hope that answers your question. Like some companies actually have like a whole section that just does those kind of movies, but they aren't maybe always of the same quality as the first one that gets them rolling on it. And it requires having good people in there, good writers, good people who want to embrace it and go with it, right?
What is your name and what's your question?
My name is Ruth. I'm from Garland, Texas. And Sean Hannity recently put out a film that is a Christian theme, and I can't think of the name of it, but have you heard, what is it? Let There Be Light. Have you seen it or heard about it, and what do you think of it if you have?
I've not seen it. I have heard about it, so I can't tell you too much about it. But every once in a while I get people who ask me about things, and then I try to, you know, watch them and see what's going on. In fact, there was a movie that I just got asked to watch too, which I don't think is necessarily a Christian one, but it was called Wonder, and maybe taking a look at that too. So thank you very much.
What is your name and what is your question?
Pastor Tim Heath of Owego, New York. Reflecting back on the Thor Ragnarok movie, how much do you see the common Gnostic American religion reflected in that, given that Odin in this past history is all death and blood and conquest, but then is all cupcakes and righteousness later on? But then really his son Thor can only be freed from that and finding power in himself, and then the old things have to be destroyed completely before he can now be set free to wander the cosmos and lead his people as the new Odin.
That's what happens in the film, spoiling it for you all. So he gets an eye torn out at one point, and so now he looks like his father, right? He's got the one less eye, so maybe that's an Illuminati plot, I don't know. But the other part with all of that is that, there's a moment where his hammer's been destroyed, and it's this material thing, and Odin, kind of like an almost like a Obi-Wan Kenobi moment, talks to him and says, you know, Thor, are you the god of hammers? And the answer is no, you are the god of thunder. And he has it in himself to do all of the godlike abilities with the lightning and the thunder and whatever. That is a definite kind of Gnostic twist on the whole thing. And again, would not be the sort of thing that would show up in actual Norse mythology, probably, right? And it is like the seasoning of our culture on the story that they're experiencing. So yes, that is a Gnostic twist that's in the story itself. Thank you very much.
What's your question?
I'm Mark Ingebrigtsen, and I'm from Panama City, Florida, and my wife drove all the way. So
thank you very much for doing that.
So a movie that we saw on the way over here was called Same Kind of Different as Me. Have you ever heard of that?
I have heard of that. I have not seen that movie yet.
Yeah. What have you been doing?
What have I been doing? It's a good question. I usually watch about 120 movies a year.
Oh wow!
So I'll see probably two or three a week, okay. But I don't see everything because there's a lot out there. Yeah. But I have heard of that, I'm a little bit interested in seeing that too.
Yeah, to me, maybe I'm misspeaking here. I have to look at my wife and see if I'm telling the truth. Because she is the one, she's the truth sayer in our family. But sort of what I got out of the movie was there's some dream theology in there where the I don't want to ruin the movie like the other gentleman right before me. But I thought it was very well done, and of course it is based on a true story, which there are several that in Hollywood that claim that, and that's off the rails sometimes too. But
here's where, you know, bringing your confession of faith to the movies is important. So if you have a movie that has characters dreaming in it, and that being part of the story, what can you do? Well, one thing you can do is you can think of, what does Scripture have about dreams? So look at narratives from Scripture where dreams are important. So Joseph, for instance, like in the book of Genesis, that's a big spot, or Daniel later, right? So like that would be something. So go back, take a look at that, see what Scripture has there. And remember also that Scripture is, in lots of cases, is descriptive, not prescriptive. So just because that experience is something that Daniel or Joseph had does not mean that you yourself are supposed to be having that experience. So when you take a look at, you can, as you watch a movie like that, you can think to yourself, well, what do I think about this through the lens of Scripture itself? You know, use that as a way of looking at it. And then also the small catechism, large catechism, things like that. But yes, I mean, that's interesting. You've pointed out an interesting thing, and now I'm really interested in see it even more. Thank you.
I just want to know how he watched a movie with his wife while driving from Panama City, Florida. That's amazing. I'd like to figure out how to do that. What is your question?
My name is Tim. I'm from Missoula, Montana. And how do you vet movies for family viewing? We have a 13-year-old foster son who's probably in his past seen way worse movies than my wife and I combined. And right. We try to steer him in the right direction. How can we do that?
Well, from 1 Corinthians, all things are lawful, but not all things are helpful, right? All things are lawful, but not all things build up. Let no one seek his own good, but the good of his neighbor. So you're seeking the good of your neighbor, a little neighbor, right, in your family. So this is a very good question. It's going to depend on the kid, right? And it also, it for you, and like just a little tiny bit that I've heard there, just because they've seen all sorts of things doesn't mean that that was good for them at that age to see it. So now as their parental guardians, it's I'm going to encourage you. It's okay to say, like, we're just going to do it different. Try it different here. Let's do it like this instead, right? And you get to certain points where there's certain things you've watched or whatever, and maybe you just hit the limit. You're like, this thing. Now, each and every one of us will have watched things where we hit the limit.
Don't be afraid to walk out. Don't be afraid to turn it off.
Don't be afraid to walk out. Don't be afraid to turn it off. If this is all voluntary. You're like reading books, watching films, unless you have to do it for a class where you're going to be graded on it, it's all voluntary stuff. You don't have to partake in it if you do not want to. Right. And I think it's important. Like my wife and I went to, it was a number of years ago now, we went to this movie I wrote it down here too, just so I would have it on the top of my mind. It was called Immortals. It was from 2011. I don't know if any of you saw it, but it was like gods and stuff too. And it was kind of Greek mythology stuff. And it had Henry Cavill in it as a guy, Thaddeus, and Mickey Rourke in it as King Hyperion. And it was 3D, and 3D was kind of a new thing. And it was like special effects with slow motion cutting and blood all over the place. And it was about 15 minutes before the end of the movie, and my wife just got up and walked out. And that's great. Like, in the long run, that's encouraging to me too, right? Like, we were with another couple, so I was a bad husband and sat with them for the rest of the movie. I knew there was only like 10 minutes left. So we went out and we talked about it, though. We had a good conversation. And just recently we were watching this new TV show, Star Trek Discovery. And the two of us just went, after about 5 episodes, we're like, we're out. We're done.
Okay, I've just watched 4 episodes of it and you've ruined it for me. Yeah. So the 5th episode's going to be the end?
Maybe. Like, as soon as it went behind a paywall for CBS, the episode that it went behind a paywall for CBS, it dropped. They started dropping F-bombs. Like in the show. It's like, it's Star Trek. Why are you dropping F-bombs? We're done. And it was just, there was no character we liked. We just were done. And it's okay to be done. You can just say, I don't want to watch it. It's fine.
Pastor Ted Geese is our guest. We're talking about movies and taking your confession of faith of movies. A few more minutes with him. on the other side of the break, broadcasting from the Issues Etc. Making the Case conference at Memorial Lutheran Church in Houston, Texas.
Right now, many churches are planning their budgets for the next fiscal year. You can promote your confessional Lutheran church and support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by joining our congregational sponsorship program, the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to include $1,000 in their mission or advertising budgets. You'll find an informational flyer on the support page at issuesetc.org. Don't miss your congregation's budget deadline. The Issues Etc. 300.
Many Lutheran pastors outside of the U.S. receive little or no seminary education. Luther Academy provides theological triage through conferences, books, and journals. Help support Luther Academy by making a tax-deductible donation at lutheracademy.com or call 260-452-2211. Serving Lutheran pastors to the ends of the earth. Luther Academy, 260-452-2211. 452-2211 or lutheracademy.com.
Expert guests, expansive topics, extolling Christ. You're listening to Issues Etc.
What is the state of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod in 2017? Take an in-depth look at trends, data, and stories from around the LCMS when you read the Lutheran Witness Magazine's annual State of the Synod issue this November. Visit cph.org/TryLutheranWitness to get 6 issues for only $6.99. The Lutheran Witness, interpreting the contemporary world from a Lutheran perspective. cph.org/TryLutheranWitness.
Did you know that you can listen to our 24/7 talk and music stations using Amazon Echo? All you have to do is say, Alexa, play Lutheran Public Radio.
Lutheran Public Radio.
Or, Alexa, play Lutheran Talk Radio.
Lutheran Talk Radio.
Own thing, you know, there's this recognition that unrighteous mammon...
Lutheran music, Lutheran talk, anytime, day or night, on Amazon Echo.
Welcome back. I'm Todd Wilker. We're broadcasting from the Issues Etc. Making the Case conference at Memorial Lutheran Church in Houston, Texas on this Friday, November the 10th. Pastor Ted Geese is our guest. He has a bachelor's degree in fine arts. He's pastor of Mount Olive Lutheran Church in Regina, Saskatchewan, Canada, and he taught a course for Concordia Lutheran Seminary titled Christianity in the Movies, A Lutheran Approach to Media Consumption. Let's go back to the audience here. What's your question?
My name is Detlef, and I'm from Houston. I wanted to piggyback a couple things before I throw my question out there. First of all, I did do exactly the same thing you did with Star Trek, especially with the gay characters that they brought on. Very, very frustrating as a Trekkie. And also, pluggedin.org, I believe, is a website where they review movies, their Christian website. And if you need to know anything about the movie, that's a great place to go. My question is, I'm very frustrated, and you were talking about the F-bombs. I'm very frustrated with movies that take the Lord's name in vain, whether they say Jesus or GD, and it just turns me off right away. I mean, I don't want to watch it if you're taking the Lord's name in vain. So my question is, do you think we as Christians, as Lutherans, should talk to Hollywood, say, hey, stop doing this? You're being offensive to our faith. And I mean, it's the only faith where there's really anything that they go against. I mean, they're anti-Christ. They're anti-Christian. So do you really think that there's anything we can do, or do you think they're going to it'll just go on deaf ears?
Good question.
Two things. One thing, you were mentioning that other website too. Also, IMDb is a good one too. They have a section where they go through details about the profanities and different things that happen in movies. It's good also as a resource. What can one man with a Twitter account do? Twitter is probably one of your best bets for like engaging with Hollywood. Lots of actors and directors and people involved in Hollywood have Twitter accounts, and you can interact with them in that way. Another thing too is like now this is a different way of looking at it, and hopefully you'll go with me on this too. Is that you have all sorts of people in your life that you pray for. Start praying for, like, pick some of them. Start praying for them. You know, they need those prayers. If you got Christians in there, they need encouragement. So if you can engage them in a you know, hey, buddy, stop with that. But if you see people who are being good examples, encourage them, you know, in their faith, in the work that they do. So maybe that helps as a practical thing that you can grab, you can grab and go with.
Pastor Geese, you said before, and we got about a minute here before we take another break, you said before that this is voluntary. What did you mean by that?
The government doesn't make you go to movies. The government makes you pay taxes. If you don't pay it, the IRS will come find you, or the Canadian Revenue Agency if you're in Canada. That's the thing. So you, in essence, you're watching it for what reasons are you watching it for? Are you watching it to be entertained? Well, then it better be entertaining. If you're watching it to you know, to think about big questions in life, well, then it better pose big questions and get you thinking. Like this is the thing. So if you're finding the things that you're watching are not enjoyable to you, then stop watching them. And life isn't all about fun. Sometimes drama is dealing with heavy topics. But if it's just not what you want to be looking at, just you can push away.
On the other side of the break, Pastor Ted Geese will be with us for just a few more minutes on this Friday afternoon, November the 10th. We're broadcasting live from the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference at Memorial Lutheran Church in Houston, Texas, gathered here with our conference attendees who will also later tonight and then tomorrow get to hear from our conference guests who are lined up to speak. Feel free to join us with any question or comment you may have for Pastor Ted Geese. Our in-studio email address, talkback@issuesetc.org. talkback@issuesetc.org. Send us a tweet. See, I'm showing my age. Send us a tweeter. @issuesetc. And we have the audience mic here for more questions for Pastor Geese on the other side of the break. I'm Todd Wilkin. Stay tuned.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
What makes Christ Our Savior Lutheran Church in Freeburg, Illinois so special? Our new members talk about the family atmosphere, the welcoming people, and the outstanding music. But most importantly, you'll be confronted with your sin and comforted with the assurance that Jesus has removed that sin so that you can live each day as His baptized and forgiven child. Christ Our Savior Lutheran Church is at 612 North State Street in Freeburg, Illinois. Sunday worship is at 9 a.m., Sunday school and Bible classes at 10:20 a.m. Call 618-539-5664.
College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois offers ACT, SAT, and PSAT test prep, scholarship application classes, college and career counseling, and more. Hi, this is Lori Konski, president of College Preparation Station. We have helped our students obtain more than $7 million in tuition scholarships in 12 years. Find out more at cpsprep.com. Let us help you create a vision and find your future. The College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois, cpsprep.com.
Outrage addiction just makes us all stupider, and it prevents us from being able to understand key distinctions, prevents us from being able to properly analyze and interpret very simple concepts that are in front of us.
That's why I think it's so sad that patriarchy has become a bad word. God is our Father. No one understands the importance of fathers better than Christians, we who have God as our Father.
At least in American evangelicalism, there is this idea that the Holy Spirit works only through spontaneity. You got to be making it up on the spot, or else it's not spiritual. The Holy Spirit apparently only works through improv.
Farmers in South Dakota listen to issuesetc.org while combining our corn and feeding the world.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin, broadcasting from the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference at Memorial Lutheran Church in Houston, Texas. Pastor Ted Geese is our guest in a few minutes. Dr. Scott Murray will join us to talk about a Lutheran approach to the church fathers on this Friday afternoon. We have an email address that you can use, even though we are in Houston. The regular old email address still works, talkback@issuesetc.org. Our Twitter address @issuesetc, and we have an audience mic for our conference attendees here at Memorial Lutheran Church. Let's go to the next question. What's yours?
Mike Quinkert from Detroit, Michigan. I'm going back a few years, Passion of the Christ, the Luther movie. I went and saw both movies multiple times in the theaters, and the theaters were full. And then I keep track of the theater listings, and at least in the Detroit area, they were playing for almost like 2 to 3 months. And with full theaters, I mean, it was amazing. And I talked to people around, and yeah, well, I went and saw it. And I understand there's a lot of Lutherans in the area, but the issue of Christian themes in movies, it's like, you know, you hope like, oh, those are pretty good movies. And you're hoping that, well, they've been in the theaters a long time. Why don't they make Orthodox movies based on true scripture? I mean, true scripture should be enough for us to keep our attention. And then, you know, moving forward, like recently in the last couple of years, we had the Noah movie. Very disappointing. And it's to the point where when I hear talk of a movie with a Christian theme in it, I don't even want to go see it because it like scars you, you know? You go in there with really high hopes and you go, okay, a few of these areas of the movie's good and then the rest is just horrible. So I just wondering, what do you think about the business side of it, of Hollywood, if with the chance of them like veering back onto Orthodox style movies? And just want to give a shout out to my father who's battling prostate cancer.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, a couple things. First thing, the way that if you went to the movie theater right now, like if we went up the road all of us together, we could go find the movie It. Still playing. Stephen King movie, still playing. Because if the opening box office is big, like huge, that determines how many weeks it's going to be in the theaters, right? So then if the first week and the second week it's number one, and it only has like a 40% drop off or something, it'll be in the theater for a couple months. So if you know that a movie is going to be one that is going to be Orthodox, let's say, or very good, let's say, maybe not even Orthodox. The important thing to do isn't to say, well, I'll see it in a couple months. The important thing to do is to go on opening weekend and see it, because that's how they decide how long something's going to be in the theater. The longer it's in the theater, the more people will see it, right? And the better deals it'll have for being distributed and other things like that. So that's part of what you're talking about. So you have to go early and maybe even frequently, depending on how good it actually is. And then when you were talking about movies like Noah, Darren Aronofsky's movie Noah, and your disappointment, that was a peculiar movie. And since we've been talking about worldviews, it's sometimes good to know what the worldview of the person who made the film is. So he has a Jewish background. He grew up as a Jewish kid. And then he, along the way, had gotten involved in something called the Kabbalah, which is kind of Jewish mysticism. And it's a long-standing Jewish mysticism. But if you ask somebody if they're in the Kabbalah, what should they say? I don't do that, right? So William Friedkin, the director of The Exorcist, did an interview with Darren Aronofsky and specifically asked him if he believed in God. And it was the most uncomfortable moment. Like, the guy hedged. He got asked like 3 times
if he believed in God by William Friedkin, the guy that made the Exorcist movie. And he just like dodged and weaved and didn't want to answer it. And basically in the end he said that he was using the Noah story to tell another story. It isn't that he himself believes in God per se the way that you or I would, but he's using the story to tell a different story. He, as a person, Darren Aronofsky, is on the Sierra Club's board of directors. So this movie that he just had that came out called Mother, he described it. That's why he was being interviewed by William Friedkin. He described that movie as a primal scream for Mother Earth. So if you go and see that movie, if you go and see Mother, how many people have seen Mother? Ah, interesting. Yeah, none of you. I saw Mother. I wish I had not, right? It was terrible. And it would be terrible. I went and saw it with a couple that we normally see movies with, and the husband thought it was terrible. The wife thought it was terrible. I thought it was terrible. My wife knew well enough not to go at all. Right. So when we're getting after the movie was done, the husband, John, he thought it was terrible because he couldn't kind of put it together. He didn't know what was going on. His wife, who grew up Roman Catholic, and myself, we could see what was going on, which made it actually more terrible. So it was terrible because what he was doing, Darren Aronofsky, in that same sort of way, he was taking scriptural things, scriptural narratives, using it in the movie, but for his own purpose, not as someone who believes in God, but in order to tell the story, almost like Marvel takes the Norse mythology just to use it as an ends towards telling a story. But for him, he wanted to make this primal scream for Mother Earth. So you have this character of this husband and wife, and the husband and wife are, the wife is Mother Earth, and the husband is God. And they get a guest, who's Adam. And then the next day his wife shows up, who's Eve. And then their sons show up, and there's a fight, and one of them dies. And he goes through all of these things from the book of Genesis and then into the New Testament. And the whole thing is kind of like a horror film, right? They're in the country. They're in this nice little quiet place. And Mother Earth and God just want to hang out. Well, Mother Earth just wants to hang out with God. She doesn't like all these guests. And there's more and more guests, and they wreck and trash the house, right? And if you're watching it, you're like, this is a terrible movie. But if you know what's going on, you've just been lectured by this most pedantic guy just for like 2 hours, and you're just like, I get it, enough. So I don't know if that kind of addresses somewhat what you're talking about, but it is interesting to know what the background of an individual is. So you get a guy like Ridley Scott. He's also very interesting. His movies are not really orthodox, so they don't have like fidelity to text the way that you'd want. He did that Exodus Gods and Kings movie. And that took liberties too. But there's a difference between somebody who is using scripture to lecture you about some other point that they want to change you on, and somebody like Ridley Scott, who seems to be sort of like an agnostic kind of guy who's struggling with the narrative itself. And I read in an interview from him that he needs to identify with the main character. So the main character in Exodus Gods and Kings is Moses. So he had to work through the text and try to figure out how he identified with Moses. And that's what you're seeing on the screen. So that can be interesting. It's not necessarily going to be devotional for you, but it's interesting to think about how this guy is interacting with the biblical text. And then at the end of the movie, he dedicates it to his brother who had committed suicide, which is also a very interesting detail. So then you get a question where it's like, well, if you ever had a chance to sit down with Ridley Scott, if you could recognize him and you were in an airplane or, you know, and he sat down next to you, maybe you're flying first class, I don't know. But if you had a chance to like to talk to him, like maybe you'd have a great conversation. Maybe there would be somewhere to start, right? If you sat down with Darren Aronofsky, you might just you might just get lectured pretty hard for 2 hours about Mother Earth, which we're supposed to take care of anyways. But he's got particular ideas and he wants you to know it. That's what he did with Noah. That's what he did with this movie, Mother.
With only about a minute and a half here, what's the difference between that, where someone appropriates, to use the common term, appropriates a biblical text to teach or to lecture on an entirely different subject than the text was intended to do? And what a guy like, as you mentioned before, Tolkien did, and then Christopher Jackson, who made the film, who borrows from mythology and imagination to tell a true story in a different way. Not an allegory, but a true story in a different way.
Yeah, I mean, like, right there in your question is your answer. I mean, like, it really gets back to the intentions of the people making it, right? And, you know, are they themselves people who have they have a faith in something. The question is, what is their faith in? Like, they have a confession of faith. Do you share it? Do you not share it? And this is what it really boils down to. So I just want to encourage all of you that, you know, like, and you guys are interested in this kind of thing, I think, is that when you go to see a movie or you watch television or whatever it is, don't forget your small catechism. Be a student of the small catechism for your whole life. Small catechism, large catechism, read the Book of Concord, get in there. Like Luther says, you can't know everything about the small catechism. If you think you know, you don't know, is essentially what he says about it. So continue to be a student of it. Continue to apply what you believe to what you're looking at. And sometimes it's going to be by comparison. Sometimes it's going to be by contrast. You're going to see the opposite of what you believe. And it's okay to analyze and to, you know, even I can enjoy analyzing a terrible movie like Mother more than the actual watching of the movie itself, if you catch what I'm saying. Just thinking about it and thinking about it from the scriptural point of view and from what I know from the small catechism is sometimes more enjoyable than the actual watching of the film, if that helps. But I encourage you in that way.
You said before that you watch 120 movies a year. That's a lot of movies to watch. I think if I did that, I would just become really discouraged with all the bad. I'm just talking about moral stuff, but just all the poorly made and poorly edited and poorly written and useless stories that are out there. Is that your impression when you've consumed that much of what Hollywood puts out?
Well, okay, so if I watch about 120 movies a year, give or take, a lot of those movies will be movies that I've rewatched. Like, there'll be something that I saw years ago that my wife has not seen, so we sit down and we watch it. I give her like a stack of like five or six movies and say, pick one. Right? I pick the five or six and she picks one in it, so I should find something that I like in there too. So we watch all sorts of things. So sometimes if you're getting just like tired of a particular kind of thing, switch gears. That's what I do. So and also, you know, it's sometimes, I guess, if you want to use an analogy, a lot of these big budget ones that make like a lot of money, the quote unquote blockbusters, even though this year has been the worst year in the last 25 years for making money for Hollywood, a lot of them are kind of like fast food. So, you know, in a pinch, you eat fast food, but you regret it, right? So sometimes you actually just need to stop after you've had fast food, and you need to stop and actually just have a steak with a potato and like some actual real vegetables that maybe even are green. You know, like this is, so, you know, you can intersperse quality stuff in with the stuff that, you know, is not very good for quality.
Okay, so after 120, and we've been doing this for, did you say 4 years we've been doing this?
Yeah.
Or 3 or 4 years? That's a lot of movies.
Yes.
Which one do you regret? You mentioned Mother, but other than Mother, which one do you regret the most us making you watch? Because you said the government that can't make you watch movies, but we can make you watch movies.
Yes.
Okay. And which one or a handful of them that you say these are just true? This is where the art of film has done what it's supposed to do. I may not love everything in it,
right?
But it's done what it's supposed to do.
Okay. One movie I desperately tried to see a film and I can't remember what it is now, but the power went out in the theater, and we did have an interview coming up later that week. So and they were like, we can't get this started, so you just have to go now. So I left the theater and I was like, well, I got to find something else. So I normally go to an early show because I'm old. And so then I decided I'll go to a late show. I'll pick something, anything. SpongeBob SquarePants sponge out of water. Eh. I watched it. I wrote something. We did an interview. It was great.
We did?
We did. It's a true story.
I have no recollection of doing that interview.
Well, we've done a lot of movies. There's an index.
Okay.
Alphabetical. So that was one where I did not choose to go see that. Like, I wasn't planning on it. I wasn't looking forward to it. It just kind of happened. One thing we did is we watched the Bible, AD, The Bible Continues. And we did like a weekly thing about it, like all the way through. If I was just watching it on my own, I would have stopped after two or three episodes. Like all of the pacing around that I was doing as I was watching, my wife was like, sit down. So
you just wanted it to get over.
Just to have this be over. Like, so this is one that we did, and I took one for the team, as it were. you guys are the team. All the listeners. So that was one. And that was one where along the way, just of all the frustrating things in it, one of the things that I found frustrating, and we both found this frustrating, we talked about it, was that they didn't refer to the Holy Spirit as a he the way Scripture does. It was like it. You know, they and these are the things where it's like, this is low-hanging fruit, guys. Like, you just have to actually crack the Bible and look and see the way that the Holy Spirit is actually described and the way that people talk about the Holy Spirit in Scripture to know that it's a personal pronoun, like it's a masculine personal pronoun. So yeah, like there's things where that would be one where, you know, it's good that we did it, and there's notes about the whole thing. You can go back and take a look at it if you like. But that was hard, hard work.
What was the best one you saw?
The best one lately, one of the very best ones lately was Dunkirk. That was a really interesting, fabulous movie. I did really enjoy Blade Runner 2049. But Dunkirk was very good. So along the way, we have had a chance to watch some very good ones. There is one that we've not really done a review of, and it's from 2010, and it was called Tree of Life by Terrence Malick. Now, this might not be your speed. I understand. It's fine. But that is one about grief and loss. There's a couple who had lost their one of their children. And it's a kind of a story about growing up in a family and the mother and the father. And do you take after your mom? Do you take over your after your dad? And then it's all set against the question in the book of Job, where were you when I created everything? And it's an interesting film. I don't endorse everything in it. But it's a film that gives you enough room to breathe where as you watch it, unlike something like Thor, where they're not giving you any time to think, where you have to think afterwards almost. Tree of Life by Terrence Malick is one where it gives you enough space as you're watching it to think about you in your own family and your own life, and do you take after your mother? Do you take after your father? It gives you a chance to think about theological thoughts as you're watching it. So it's an interesting film that has a section in it about creation, which some people will like and some people won't like. But it's a very beautiful, interesting film that is actually kind of a commendable thing. So yeah, there. If you think about all of your whole life of watching films, maybe your favorite one is Sound of Music or something like that, or whatever it is that you watched. But people see all sorts of things, and that was one that I really enjoyed. And I kicked myself for not seeing it in the theater. That was one where I ended up seeing it on television at home instead of in the theater. There we go.
Pastor Ted Geese has a bachelor's degree in fine arts. He's pastor of Mount Olive Lutheran Church in Regina, Saskatchewan, Canada, and he taught a course for Concordia Lutheran Seminary titled Christianity in the Movies, A Lutheran Approach to Media Consumption. You can read his review of Thor Ragnarok at our website and all of his other reviews as well. Issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. When we come back, we're going to be talking about the Church Fathers and a Lutheran approach to them. Dr. Scott Murray, senior pastor at Memorial Lutheran Church in Houston, Texas, will be our guest. How do we continue faithfully to confess and practice our Lutheran faith in a culture of secularism, pluralism, and relativism? The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for November is the 2017 edition of Luther's Small Catechism with Explanation. You can browse before you buy at issuesetc.org or call Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month, Luther's Small Catechism with Explanation, 2017 edition.
Looking for a foreign language program that will revolutionize your students' vocabulary knowledge and their understanding of grammar? How about a program that teaches critical thinking skills too? Look no further than Memoria Press's Latin curriculum. Students of all ages can use these Latin study programs. Give your students the language of medicine and law today. Visit memoriapress.com and save $5 on your next order by using the coupon code LPR17. Memoria Press, a classical Christian education that works.
Lutheranism in the public square. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Mount Olive Lutheran Church in Duluth, Minnesota would like to invite you to join us Sunday mornings at 9:30. Whether you are visiting our beautiful city or live here, we have liturgical worship that shares Jesus with you. We're easy to find at 20th Avenue East and Superior Street, and also offer Bible classes at 8:25 Sunday mornings with Sunday school September through May. Check out our website for other Bible study times, visit or call 218-724-2500.
LCMS Rural and Small Town Mission exists to support and encourage congregations in rural and small town settings. In partnership with LCMS districts, RSTM is uniquely positioned to make a major impact in revitalization support, community engagement and outreach training, congregational partnership development, and worker support through providing and developing resources geared specifically to rural and small town congregations. Check us out at lcms.org/RSTM or give us a call at our office. We're here to help.